to come along and speak tonight. And I was told that the subject is the Psalm of Moses. So we read about that in the first 21st verses of Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. Now I'm going to read it differently tonight, and you'll follow how I'm reading it as I'm going to speak about it. So we're going to read Exodus chapter 15. Commence at verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host have he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. Verse 21. And Miriam answered them, Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider have he thrown into the sea. Verse 5. The depths covered them. They sank into the bottom of it as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thy excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as a heap. And the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Verse 21. And Miriam answered them, Sing to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Yes, all right. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth thy people, which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm shall they be as still as a stone, till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in. In the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea. And the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with brasses. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." And trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word for his name's sake this evening. This is the first song recorded for us in Scripture. And it's all about Jehovah. There's nothing about Israel in the song. It's a song of being of praise to their God. And when we think of this great triumphant song, it will speak to us of a greater redemption. George gave us this lovely hymn tonight. "We have known redemption, Lord, from bondage worse than theirs by far." And this great song of redemption, and it speaks of the glorious triumph over all the enemies, for they are singing this song. But this song is also referred to in the book of Revelation. And we read there in chapter number 15 that they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Come, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou art holy, for all the nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." This we find in Exodus chapter 15, a song that is reflecting of what God has done. When we come to Revelation and chapter number 15, we learn about a song that is being sung of what God will do. We're in between. And so we look back and look forward. And these lovely songs that we have in the Holy Scripture that bring so much to our attention. When we think of the bondage that they were in, and no doubt that you were reading from the beginning of Exodus, and when you were in chapter 2 and verse 23, you would learn that the Israelites, they sighed. But when we get here to chapter 15, the same. And that's life's experiences. We know that the sigh and the sobs, but there are songs that we can say. They would look back at this experience at this time in their life, and they think of the past, but they're thinking now of the present, of what God has done for them. So we think of the overthrow of that Egyptian host that followed them into the sea. So when we think of this lovely, lovely song, I want us to consider tonight that it's found, as I read it, three stanzas and a chorus. Three verses and a chorus. What a lovely song. And in that last chorus that we read of in verse number 21, There's an interesting looking expression in it. And Miriam answered them. The them is masculine. And the suggestion is that in those verses that we've read, verses number 1 to verse number 5, we have Moses leading the men. And then comes in the chorus with Miriam and the women folks with their timbrels and dancing and the sing. The ode that's at the very beginning in verse number 1. And then we have the men singing again. And we read these in verses 6 through to 10. And then we have the women folks singing a chorus. And then we have from verse number 11 through to verse 19 that we have there the men singing again and the women bringing in the chorus at the very end. That's how it appeals to me. When Steve asked me to take this subject, I said immediately, I spoke on this in Trinidad at a conference many, many years ago. Well, I never found my notes. I don't know where they are. I went through and I looked at the computer. I did find a page of notes in an old notebook, but you could speak for about 2 minutes on the notes that I had there. And so we looked at that afresh, keeping in mind that the thought of how I developed it then, but what I actually said, I don't remember. But I want to think with you tonight about what we've read in the book of Revelation. And notice that in Revelation there are certain statements made about a song that will be sung that could be put over the verses that we have read in chapter 15. And we'll think about that as we go through it tonight. The song of Moses. And what is it? It's concerning Jehovah's triumph. The Lord has triumphed. He said, the Lord, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider are he thrown into the sea. It's a children of Israel. Interesting, the word is always a word that's in the masculine. And it has to do with the thought that it's all together. It is the word son for son. But it is the word that includes it all. The company, the nation. And they're going to sing this song to the Lord. I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. Now that's an interesting expression. Actually the word triumph and the word gloriously is exactly the same word in the Hebrew. And there is one translation I noticed that goes like this. He has triumphed, triumphed. He has triumphed gloriously. Then I come to another translation, I discover this. That it has something else. It says in Darby, he is exalted. The Lord is exalted. Now there's other translations use that same expression. When I looked at that this afternoon, a chorus came to my mind. It's a modern chorus. So, Google. This is what I thought. He is exalted. He is exalted up on high. I will praise him. He is exalted forever. He is exalted and I will praise his name. He is the Lord. Forever his truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in his holy name. He is exalted, King the king is exalted on high. That was written by someone by the name of the ruler of Paris. Now you possibly have sung it. I heard it sung on CD. And possibly that's what made it come to my mind this morning, this afternoon. He is exalted. The Lord is exalted on high. Now whether that dear lady had Exodus 15 in mind, I don't know. Whether she was using that modern translation of verse number 1, I don't know. But what we do know is that the sentiment is right there in the verse. The Lord has triumphed gloriously. The Lord is on high. That's what the that's what Moses is saying here. And he speaks about what he says. I will sing to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he cast, hath he thrown into the sea. So when we come to this psalm, to this portion, we think of what the psalmist says. But in there in Psalm 105, we read this. He brought forth his people with joy, and his chosen with gladness. And that's what God has done. When he has redeemed his people, the psalmist says there, he's brought them forth with joy and with gladness. My, it was a happy day. Sometimes you and I would sing that lovely hymn, and we would sing, oh happy day, when Jesus took my sins away. But I like to think of the next one that's in the believers. Oh happy day, when first we fell. When you think of the day that when we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we look back with it and we say, oh happy day. And we thank God for what he has done, what the Lord has done. And that's what they are doing. They are thanking the Lord, and they lift their feeling of praise to the Lord for what he has done. But first of all, of what he is in himself. And so they think of this greatness of the Lord. They sing his praises to their God. So this first story, this first verse, tells me about the personality of God being revealed. What he is. But he is. And it's good for us to know, to get to know who our God is. Look at the point of verse says. The Lord is my strength and song. And he has become my salvation. He is my God. And I will prepare him habitation. My Father God, and I will exalt him. You know, there's three different words there describing who our God is. For he says he is the Lord. In our English translation, it's the Lord. That occurs 48 times in our Bible, and once by another word. The word that's here in the Hebrew. Jah. Jah. The first time that ever occurs. And of course, I worked amongst the people who had the long dreads, the Rastafarians. If we had worked in Jamaica, we would have worked amongst more of them. But there were the Rastafarians, And everywhere the hair grown long and down their back, and some of them, but some of these things would sit on their hair. Who did they worship? They worship Yah. They borrow from the scriptures, from the Hebrew Bible, the title that we have right here in this number. We have Yah. We have the Lord. Who is He? He is eternal. He is the ever-existing one. When we get down the rest of it, don't we come to another one? My God! El. And what does that mean? He's a strong one. He's a mighty one. And the first time we come across that expression is in the book of Genesis. And we learn there in chapter 14 and verse 18 that there was a man called Melchizedek. And that man called Melchizedek, he worshipped the Most High God. The mighty, strong one. And we come down a little bit further. He says, my Father's God. And who is He? He's the God we read of in the very first verse of our Bible. In the beginning, God. He is the one who is, who was, as we read in Revelation 1. Who is, and whoever shall be. It's wonderful to think of. This is how this little song will open up. As they're fascinated, as they're taken up with the person of God. And these lovely titles. I thought they see people's names in meetings. I'm going to say it again. George, do you remember the old TV Queen? Yeah, he does. He nodded his head. Do you remember on Wednesday mornings that Mother Old Huey Queen used to stand there and get up and worship, and of course his hand was always there, and his other hand was there, he'd stand so. But he'd stand and worship on the Wednesday morning. And he used to worship, and thank God he was the first great cause of all. Let us all remember that stuff in here. The first great cause of all. That's who they're worshipping. One who's the first great cause of all. Of course, I didn't know in those days that you brother Queen had his new revival, as some of us have now. But there it is. Here is a same people who will worship in the song, and they'll worship God. And thinking of a Trinidad brother, no longer in our assemblies, was in the assembly, brought up as a Roman Catholic home, and said in his testimony, my desire was to know God. Yes. Here we are. A company who will worship. But when we get down here to the fact that verse number 3, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name, Jehovah. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. What do you think of it then? He said, Pharaoh's chariots. And his host must be cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. And I want to think with you for this moment of the plight of those Egyptians. A redeemed people have got left and got out. And a host of Pharaoh will follow them. And there stands between them the pillar of cloud. And at night, there will be the pillar of fire, the presence of the Lord in the midst. And they pass through the sea. Pharaoh and his host will come after them. And they'll be drowned in the Red Sea. And you were thinking possibly last meeting in chapter 14. And there we read in verse number 25 that he, God, took off their chariot wheels when he drained them heavily, so that the Egyptian said, let us flee from the face of Israel and from the Lord fighting for them against the Egyptians. And you can see that company have gone into the sea. God took off their chariot wheels. How? I don't know. That's what the scripture says. God fights for his people. What does that mean for us? It means that you and I have been redeemed by the sovereign grace of God. And the Lord is for us. Who can be against us? Not easy at times. In the work of your life. In the business life. In the school life. In every facet of life. It's not easy. But the Lord is for us. Who can be against us? That's for the rest. We just give God thanks. When you think of this, that the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the Pharaoh came into the sea after them. And the Bible says there remained not so much as one of them. Again we're going to the Psalms. This has been Psalm 76. And in Psalm 76 the psalmist contemplates this. He gets this lovely psalm and he says this, art thy rebuke, O Lord God of Israel. Both the chariot and the horse are cast into the sea and a deep sleep. So Miriam takes up with the prey. The horse and his rider are being cast into the sea. The Lord has triumphed gloriously. Must be a tremendous song, I mean. How many thousands have been redeemed? Millions? And to hear those male voices raising their voices in praise to God. And to hear the women folks come in with the refrain. The Lord triumphed gloriously. That means tremendous. Can I say this? They have rest. It would seem like to be a spontaneous song. And there it goes. The period of praise to our God. Look at the second story. What did it say? I want to think you know the power of God. Displayed what he has done. We'll learn more about that now in the second section than in the first. In the first it speaks about what he is. In the second section, what he's done. What does it say? Look at verse number 15. Verse number 6. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand has dashed in pieces the enemy. Oh, some folks will tell us, you know, God is hard, uncaring. God is a God of love. But God is also a God of infinite righteousness. Sometimes when we come over to John's first epistle, And we like to think of the fact that God is love, but we pass by that expression, God is light. We realize this, that in God is light, he can't look upon evil. And we read here that he's become glorious in power. His right hand has dashed in pieces the enemy. Shattered it. Again, then it comes to Psalms. And while it's a different word than the original, Psalm 2 says this, thou shalt break them with a knife, rod of iron, and thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Psalm 2 is a lovely psalm. It speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ in particular. And realize this, that God is a righteous God, and he will judge. Remember when Moses went in to Pharaoh and he said, let my people go, the Lord would have us to go and worship 3 days' journey into the wilderness. You remember what Pharaoh said? Who is the Lord that I should obey him? Who is the Lord that I should obey him? Well, he found out who the Lord was. We found out that the Lord was the God of judgment, of righteous judgment, a holy God. There could have been deeper than that. He says in verse number 7, in the greatness of thine excellency thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. We come to the book of Hebrews and we learn this in chapter 12. Our God is a consuming fire. Our God's holy. Our God is a consuming fire. God looks after his people, you know. God is the one who cares for us. God is the one who watches over us. There may be times that you can look back to, as I'm looking back to this present moment of an experience of my life's experience, and to know that God did something. I was accused in front of other workmen in the workshop of saying something. And I said in front of those other workmen, I did not say that. And the boss said, you did. I said, I didn't. So you did. Going up the road, he turned to the older apprentice, where I was just an apprentice. He says, John didn't say it, but I was not admitting that in front of the men. You got it? You realize? That man went from being big, and I still think about it often. Down inside. I often wonder, did God put his finger upon him? God put his finger on Pharaoh. He says here, at the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together, the flood stood upright, like a heap. We can't understand this. Here is the Red Sea. Why do some people tell us it's the Reedy Sea and it's only that depth? Here is the Red Sea and the waters stand upright. And the children of Israel go through on dry land. And God blew his wings. It's a mighty miracle that God has done. And the waters stood up. And they stood up as a heap. The depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. That's when they can go through. Again, we come back to the psalm. And Psalm 78, it says, he divided the sea and caused them to pass through and made the waters to stand as a heap. It's a tremendous miracle. Later on, you'll come to a Jordan, and God will roll back the waters. And that time was the time of the overflowing of the river. And it flooded the plain all around, and God stopped the water from flowing and rolled it back. Our God is a God of miracles. Our God is a powerful God. Our God is a mighty God. He can do more above all that you could ever ask or think. So the pursuit into the enemy then. Now notice the I wills. I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. I will draw my sword. My wrath shall be satisfied upon them. My hand shall destroy them. That's amazing. I will. And God says, no. Yes, thou didst blow the fine wind, and the sea covered them. Notice, they sank as lead in the mighty waters. They sank as lead. In verse 5, they sank to the bottom as a stone. In that verse number 10, they sank as lead in the mighty waters. God judged. When we come to Deuteronomy, what he did unto the army of Egypt. Here is a new generation born in the wilderness. Perhaps some had come out of Egypt as children. But here is a second giving of the law in Deuteronomy. And we read, and what he did unto the army of Egypt, unto the horses, unto their chariots, how he made the waters of the Red Sea to overflow them that pursued you, after you, and how the Lord had destroyed them unto this day. Again, the psalmist speaks of that. He said, to cause the waters to cover their enemies, there was not one of them. Right. I know there's somebody standing here and you'll see the dead upon the seashore. Not one. Holy tragedy. Not one. Right. But God brought them through and they did not catch. Let me tell one. What is along the whole days with this? For Miriam, his son, and Chorus. At the end of the first stanza, we read, that great and marvellous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. I take that and place it over it from Revelation chapter 15. And in that same verse, we can have this next expression, that just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. God's just, he's righteous in his judgments. The third trophy, the purpose of God revealed, what he will do. Here we get to it. Whom is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Whom is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? My, what a God. Is there anyone like him? This is our God. There's none like him. Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy leddest forth thy people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength. Notice, we might wonder about this thing. Unto thy holy habitation. But there's no tabernacle. It has not even been discussed. It has not been revealed. And yet we have this lovely expression that thou hast led them unto thy holy habitation. See, God prophesies is this, that there will be a place where he will choose to place his name. There will be that place in the desert. There will be that place on Mount Moriah. And you know, that gives us encouragement for us today. You remember John 14? What did the Lord Jesus say? In my Father's house, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe on my offering. And the Lord is pointing us forward and carrying our thoughts forward. We've not reached there yet, and neither have they. But there on the banks of that Red Sea, God has shown to them that there is going to be that holy habitation that will go towards it day by day. Now what happened now? Do you remember what took place in the book of Joshua in chapter 2? Do you remember what took place when two spies were taken into a harlot's house? I believe that she was a harlot, prostitute, put it bluntly, a lewd woman. I know the modern translations say she was an innkeeper. I know that. That softens it very, very much. Shows to us the starkness. It says, we know. We have heard. We have heard what the Lord has done. What happens? They fear. You read these words. I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror is falling upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you, when you came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites and so on. We've heard. We've got a wonderful future because we belong to Christ. For the world is a fearful looking forward to judgment. That's why we pray for those in our families who are not saved. We could have children. We could have grandchildren. We could have brothers. We could have sisters. We have those who have come to us as they are kin and kin. We've got neighbours. A fearful looking forward to judgment. God is righteous. God is holy. So that prospect for the nation is found in verse 17. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place of the Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. And God is going to do that. That's why we can turn again to Revelation 15 and remember, you shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name. Thy name. And so the refrain, and I think the time has gone. Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, send ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider are he cast into the sea. We turn to the Psalms again. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. I wonder if we have the redemption hymn of tonight. But we won't. But if we had, we could have finished that. With a new song, I can sing it now. With a ransom throng, power and dominion unto him that was slain. Our Father, we do thank you for thy word. Thank you, God, as we put that some of these verses in parts of them, and to be reminded, our Father, of the song that they sang, the song of redemption, the song that they sang on that eastern shore of the Red Sea, when they said, the Lord has triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider, and he cast into the sea. Our Father, we do thank you for salvation. Thank you again, our Father, for our saving us. Blood bought, blood washed, kept by the power of God, day by day. Grant, our Father, that we are exercised for being, to see others reached and saved. Whether it's the word spoken on the leaflet handed out, that we might yet see some others. And that we are brought in under the shelter of the blood, in the separation of the seas, to be redeemed by the power of God. Now, Lord, then we seek thy blessing as we pray. Take us each home safely as we give thanks for the Saviour's name.